Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast on the internet. Most people know me as probably both, I guess I would assume. I've had StarsCast, oh my gosh, since the 90s, and of course my name has been with me forever. So anyways, I'm happy to have everybody here. I have an awesome guest who connected from another country. It's just beautiful how things can work sometimes, flawless. I was just telling her I've tried to talk to people rather that would call in and they'd send me an email. Natalie, I can't connect. I can't do this. But this was just perfect today. And I'm pretty sure she's close to perfect. Anyways, let's talk about what's going on for my sites and me. I'm going to talk about the magazine first. As everybody knows, I just did, celebrated my 25th anniversary in January. And the magazine is now in a flip design. I have the text design that you can see. And I have the flip design. And it was quite challenging for us. I have a gal who helps with the flip, and I had to send her everything, and, then I had to go and look at it. Now, this issue, the February one, is so much easier because she understands the authors and how they type, how they send me information, rather, how their text is. And I have some poets who will indent, and then I had to go back and tell her, no, they can't all be on the left. They have to be indented. But anyways, we got it all figured out. And this next issue is going to be just as big. I think we had probably 100 pages, something like that. So anyways, that's that. That's going well. And I also take donations for that. I pay the scale, but I've always done this for free for everybody, and because it's what I love, it's what I do, and I don't know, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to bring out all this beautiful stuff, and you wouldn't even know about some of these authors if I didn't present it into my magazine, and so that makes me feel really good. Now, Stars Psychics, that's a little different. That's a horse of another color, if you want to call it a horse. That's kind of apropos, I guess. It's been on for 12 and a half years. I'm trying to right now get phone services so we can talk to you on the phone. I will be doing phone readings, and I have all these people from all over that want to work for me. I guess word gets around, if you're really nice. I mean, I am business-oriented, and yes, I am very nice. I don't mistreat people. Doing this as long as I have, and I worked for America Online years ago, back in the 90s, before all of this began. I mean, look at the internet. It's like, I'm not real happy with all of it. I think some of it has gotten out of hand. But anyways, we can't do anything about that. We just have to work with it and do it in our own way, and that's exactly what I do. So that'll be coming. I have a special going on, $1.99 per minute, all readings, all readers. Some of the advisors, I like to call them advisors, have been with me 25 years because they worked for me when I had an AOL chat room and a Microsoft community I had at one time. They don't offer that anymore, but I had all of that. I had chat rooms going from 8 to midnight every single day. But granted, they were free readings. You could ask a question and one of the ones in the room would answer it. Well, That really changed, and then I developed Star Psychics. I still have Planet Stars with a Z.com, and of course I have my magazine. So I keep pretty busy, but I like it that way. I keep telling my son, if I didn't do this, what would I do? I don't know what I would do. I eat chocolates all day and watch TV and Netflix and all that kind of good stuff. But anyways, that's what's going on with all of that. I'm going to bring my guest in. She is an international spiritual teacher, a psychologist, a therapist. She's just done so much. You should see all the books she's done. And, of course, she's got one now that came out on January 1st, and I'm going to bring her in right now. How are you, Dr. Nicola Amador? Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Yes, and hello, everyone, and hello, Natalie. So nice.
I love how you
here.
Say my name. I love talking to people that they just have a way of saying my name. It's just beautiful. Makes it sound so beautiful. Thank you for that. So, anyways, we don't have any callers yet, but that doesn't mean we won't. And what happens after the show is I wait for it to be extrapolated, is what we call it, and then I push it out on my social media. We've already got an ad out for you. And I'm just going to call you Nicola.
Yes.
We've already got an ad out for you on my social media. My gal already did that. You know, she did that yesterday, actually, and so it's posted today. So you're all over everything that I'm attached to, and I think it's important.
Oh,
and then
you.
I'll do something
so
on LinkedIn. Well, yeah, I like to do that. I mean, you know, they can hear your name, and they're going to say, well, who is she? You know, what does she do? So
exactly.
It's really pretty. I'll send it to you
yes.
and you can look at it. It's really, really nice. And anyways, let's get started with you. Okay, you've got a new book out that just came out. It's called Love Unleashed, How to Rise in a World on the Edge. Oh, my, aren't we on the edge? That is so fitting.
Oh.
I'm not, but I think parts, I don't know. What do you think? Anyways, you've got this book out. What do you think about that title? Why did you choose that title, first of all?
Well, actually, the title was chosen by my being. You know, it was like it came. Suddenly it was clear. And then it was so clear also because the world is on the edge. And we have to change, you know, what's happening in the planet. And people are also, it's also an exciting time because people are waking up in the world, which is great. And we also, you know, we're running out of our resources and we have a lot of issues going on. So this is an exciting and challenging time. So I think we're on the edge. And I was like, well, how do we rise to all that's happening within and around us and come from love?
You know, it's really true. I mean, and if you look at your own life, well, when I was really, really young, not that I'm really, really old, but a lot younger, things were not changing all the time. You could count on certain things. I mean, it was more, I don't know, maybe it was calming, but all of a sudden you've got, and this goes with the leaders too, the people that are in the government, no matter where you live. All of a sudden we get a lot of people that it's not calm anymore. They're throwing all kinds of things into the ring. And I don't know, it was just much more, it was a pleasure when I was young, really young. You don't have to worry about, oh, my God, what's happening over in this country? What's happening over there? It didn't happen. You either had a war, an all-out war, but you didn't have these uprisings. I don't understand that. I never will. But I want to know, how did you get started
yeah.
into this field? How did Nicola get into the field of writing, into spirituality? Because a lot of times people will be listening and they'll say, well, I'm in that, but she's written all these books. You know, but how did you get started? I mean, did you always have this in your mind that this is what you wanted to do? Were you a little girl and you thought, oh, my gosh, I'm hearing things, I'm seeing things. What does this mean? How did you begin?
Well, it began actually as a child, yeah, because I had a knack for being able to communicate with animals, to see things that other people didn't see. And I had a very intense childhood. And then when I was 14, I started to meditate. And it was pretty unusual back then in Germany to meditate, you know. And I was so strongly called. And it was also kind of my own lifesaver, really, to go on the spiritual path. And it was only after I really walked this more spiritual path for a long time and, you know, ended psychology too. So it's a good combination for that. First then I got the calling inside, like it's time to teach. It's time to guide others. And that began, you know, I was on a vision quest in New Mexico and in the wilderness. And then that's where the call came. And then I was like, well, how do I go about that? And I always was always writing already, and I was guiding people before, but it became then in the mountains so clear, and it was like my life's calling, my life's mission, and that's where it began. And I did a lot of trainings. I lived with great masters. I felt like, you know, it's a great responsibility to guide others. And I realized, you know, what my deepest longing was to know what true love actually is and to experience that and to live that. And it took me on a really amazing path in life. And this is where I feel I found it. And from there, I serve the people and help in the world. Really, that's it.
Well, I see. I'm looking at some of the things. You've done a lot of online courses, which is great. You did a CD, Meditations for Life. You did that. But this book, was that a challenge for you to write it?
Actually, yes, because you will laugh when you hear this. By the way, I teach a lot of retreats around the world since 30 years now, really. But this book, what happened is people were asking for me to give them a book with all what I was teaching. And I thought, well, you know, the spiritual books tend to be rather, they tend to be rather boring with all these concepts. And then somebody said to me, well, I really love your amazing stories because they're so captivating. I want to hear them again and again. And I was like, okay. And that person said, write them down. So I started writing them down. And then again, there was a call. It was like many years ago where it said, okay, now it's time to write the book. And for me, I love writing. I mean, give me a pen and I just write for hours, you know?
Yeah, you fly with it, yeah. But you still have to have, I don't even like to say I can't. And I don't like to say, no, you can't do that, or never can you do that. I think there's always possibilities. I think anything is possible. But like for me to write a book, it's not like in your arena, as I would call it. Mine is a fairy tale. And I have it in my head, Nicola, but I cannot get it on paper. And somebody said, just sit at your computer, open up Word and type. Type like you talk. This man said, yeah. Type like you talk. Talk. He said, if you could talk and it could put down the words, you'd have your book done probably in 2 days. I said, probably. But,
well, not so fast.
You know, it's
probably
difficult.
For me, it wasn't difficult because what I do is I take a pen and paper. And for me, I was a writer since in school. I mean, even people always said, you have a gift for writing. And I know it's my talent, and I love writing. So my problem was not that I didn't get anything on paper. It was the opposite. I had, when the book was complete, it was 800 pages. Of course,
oh, my
no
gosh.
Publisher. Yes. So then the hard work was for me to cut it out, you know, really, really get to the point. And I had many editors and then a publisher. I did not want to self-publish the book because I wanted the credibility of a publisher. But these days it's not easy to find a publisher unless you're really big time famous and have a lot of followers.
And there's a calling for it because I know your publicist, and I have sent people, and he said sometimes we just reject things because it's not what we need at this time. So it's all about timing too. You set it in motion at the right timing. I have this lady who's been trying to get hers. Nobody wants it. And another gentleman. I mean, he's got his PhD and he can't get it done.
Yeah,
I send them to the publicist and they reject it because that's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, and so, at that time, I mean, it was like they really said, you know, they really liked the writing, and it was just the right book, and so we went with it, you know.
I'm glad. I mean, I don't have the book, but I'm very glad. I mean, I can see what it looks like, and I see your picture, and you just have this great energy about you. And that's important. To me, that's important. Energy is very, very important. It really, really is. So, I mean, this just came out, right? January 1st?
Yes, it just came out. And I'm so proud of this baby that it came out. And it's still, I mean, the beautiful thing is, like, people keep saying, you know, they really love the stories in it. They're real stories. And I weave it with the teachings, you know, so that it's very alive, and it has all the practices in it. And I feel like it's kind of really a holistic book, you know, where you're more the general gist, and then it's just for you. And then there's a section just for relating and relationships. And the fourth is like how, you know, about loving Earth and service rocks the world. So there's many sections in it, I think. And most people say to me, well, I have the book always on my bedside table, and I read one chapter. You can pick the chapters. You don't need to do from beginning to end. So it's kind of a live book, and I like it that way. I'm actually very happy about it.
You should be. And the cover, I want to let everybody know, is beautiful, and it's got horses galloping in the water. Now, who chose that? You? The cover of the book?
Actually, yes. I searched for pictures, and I gave the publisher the suggestion to put the horses, the white horses of the Camargue from France, on it, and then the red feathers. And somehow he did such a fabulous job. I really love the cover, what he did with what I gave him.
And, you know, to me, I'm so glad that there are books. So much is online. And, you know, I mean, really, there is. I mean, like, my magazine is online. Well, I'm not going to print the thing. It costs me too much money. But I'm so happy that there are so many books that you can actually go and purchase and have them in your hand. See, for me, a book, first of all, it has to look good. It has to be beautiful colors. That's for me. Also, it has to feel good. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I touch the book. Yes. This is what I do. I touch the book, and it's a feeling that I get. And if it's got this nice feel, remember how you could get books before, and the covers were this crisp, I can't even describe them. Yeah. They're hard. Not a hard-covered book. It was a soft-covered book, but they weren't pleasing to touch. They didn't make you feel good when you touched them. Now the books I've seen, because I get so many of them anyways, are so inviting. It makes you want to open them and read them. And I like a book that you don't have to start from cover and go all the way to the end. You can just open it up to a chapter or whatever and read from it. Because to me, that's a good book, because that means the author has taken care of everything he or she has put in there. And they're going to think, well, you know, Natalie, for example, she's just going to open this book, and what page is she going to end up on? I don't know, but I want to make sure whatever page she ends on is going to make her feel good, and she's going to learn, and she's going to be happy. I don't like anything doom and gloom, although I love Stephen King. I love his books. I really do.
Oh, my God. Really?
I love his books because they are – what he does is he describes every little thing. A chandelier, he'll tell you the color. He'll tell you the glass it's made of. He'll tell you he'll tell you every little detail. A door he describes in his books all the time. That's what he does. And I think – that's how he gets you into the story, and you really do get pulled. But that's a story. That is not self-help. That is not – I mean, he's entertaining. He's going to put you into this mode, and you're going to hear about all of the scary things in the world, and there's enough of that. But in his make-believe world, that's what you're going to hear. Now, your stuff, I'm almost certain of it by looking at the book, is very inspirational.
Yeah.
Now, I'm selling it to the people that will be listening and that are listening, and I don't know who's listening if they don't call in, but the cover is so inviting. It gives you this feeling. And I'm sure as an author you like to hear that. You want people that – and then you go and buy it and you touch the book and you – oh, I like this. I like the – but it's got to be the cover that's going to pull you in. Not necessarily the title, not for me, but the cover. I like beautiful colors. I love turquoise. I love blues. I love red feathers. I love all that you have there. So you see, I would probably buy that book just based on the cover. Is that strange? I guess a lot of people do that, don't they? I don't know. I do.
I think you could frame it in a picture because it would look really good in a picture too.
Yes, exactly. It's very appealing. So,
thank you. Yeah, transmits, I think, the message of Love Unleashed. You know, it does. It just speaks. Pictures speak louder than words sometimes.
Oh, they do. They do. Although there is a saying. Don't believe everything you read and only half of what you see. However, in a book, now I pulled this really big and pulled this really, really big on your site here. However, I happen to think that if you pick up the book, I'm selling your book actually, if you pick up the book, touch it, look at the cover, get a nice feeling for the lady in red, that's you. You're going to see on your site, you're the lady in red to me. And red is the color of love. I mean, some people will say, oh, God, I don't like red. Well, when I was a little girl, I didn't really wear red. Now I can wear that color red that you have because it's like a blue red. You know what I'm saying? It's not – there are different shades of red. Wow. But you look beautiful in this. If they go to your site, and it is NICOLAAMADORA.com. Go there and look, and the cover. Now I'm looking at the cover here. Oh, look at those beautiful horses! I love wildlife. I have a herd of deer that I feed. I have mallard ducks that I feed. I feed all kinds of birds. I feed squirrels. Nobody else in my area, in my neighborhood, I should say, feeds anything except for me. I'm out there like this cuckoo person in the rain.
Yes.
But you see, that would draw me to your book too, because I'd have a feeling for those horses. I would have a feeling for it. So right away.
That's beautiful with the animals that, you know, there is a whole section in the book on the animal communion and there is also like stories of what I experienced riding with the horse through fire, you know, literal wildfire in California. And there's definitely, you know, it's evoking the love, to evoke the love for all beings. And that includes our, you know, animals. And it's wonderful that you feed them. It's beautiful.
Oh, and you know what? What's really, I mean, I'm like a kook with it. You know, I'm in South Carolina, so it's mostly really nice here. I mean, it's in the 70s today. It'll go down to the 60s, but whatever. At night, they come at night. I don't feed my herd during the day. I protect them because I don't want anybody to see them. Of their mind. I mean, Nicola, they're mine. And so they come on my porch, a few of them at a time, and they look at my door wall that's glass. And I'll see them looking at me because they know the kitchen light is on. Oh, there she is. She's cutting up all of her stuff. She's getting it all together. And it's true. But I will go out in the rain, and I don't put it in the rain. I put it on my porch so they don't get wet. My son laughs. He says, Mom, my goodness, he said, they're in rain and snow and all of that. They're certainly equipped. Not my babies. They're going to be on my porch. I'm going to take care of them. And I do that with the mallards and their babies. I had three clutches. They'll be coming again probably in May. And they'll come carrying, you know, they've got their eggs in them. And then 2 weeks later, I'll have all the little babies. I call them little fuzzers. And they're all coming one right after the other. And it's the most beautiful experience anybody could have. I feel so blessed because I'm helping the animal kingdom. That's what I call it. It's the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yes.
But I love it.
And that's like, you know, we consider the animals like lesser, but that's just rubbish because they're living beings. They're divine. And when you feed them, you feed also your heart in that moment. It keeps your heart loving and open, and you are happier for it too. So it's a both-way story. They get their bellies full and they're loved. And that's, I mean, in many respects, you know, if we only do a little bit, each person, a little bit of that, we have a world that is in love and everybody is much more happier for it. And we're not in this constant crisis.
I know.
But we have a lot to learn as humans. We have a lot to learn. And I think at this moment in time, there is so many people are looking for a way, are longing to find a way through this insanity. And really feel this warmth in the heart. It's so simple, you know, and to be able to feel that and to live that, we just have to change a couple of things, you know.
Well, I'm doing my part. I'm sure you're doing your part. I worry that, you know, one day when I'm not here any longer, who's going to do it for them? That bothers me a lot. That really hurts me. So when I'm out there, I talk really gentle to them. They come up to me. I don't touch them. I have a herd of them. They could charge me and knock me over. They have not yet in almost 3 years. And I have this one, a male. You should see his antlers. I call him Maximus because he's so big, and he's got this big, huge rack of antlers. It's just huge. So I call him Maximus, and I'll talk to him, and I'll say, "Now, you know, you have to be careful with all the ladies that are here and the little ones." I have some little ones. They're not fawns, but they're tiny ones, and they come with their mothers. I mean, I can't begin to tell you how my heart feels when I'm out there with them. I mean, you have to experience it. And people will say, "Why do you do that? Why do you?" You know what, Nicola? I will eat a can of tuna every day if I have to, just to feed them. Just to be able to afford to feed them. They are that important to me. And I think if you believe in anything, whatever you believe in, God, whatever, somebody's watching up there. You're being watched. You know,
it's not just up there. It's like the whole, all of life is like,
right.
Immediately when you feed, like, for example, you feed them, you know, it's like all of life is seeing it and feeling it. And there is another drop of love, you know, one drop of love makes all the difference. I like that story, you know, where the guy goes to the beach and the fish are on the beach and they're outside the water, and then he starts picking up the fish and throwing it in the water one after another, and then comes another guy and says, like, "Well, what are you doing? This is a waste of your time." And he says, like, "Well, that just made a difference to this one." And I think these simple things, and like feeding the somebody when you are gone, somebody will continue this because you shared it now as on the radio, and somewhere someone will hear this and feel like, "Oh, I want to do that too." And I have in this book so many examples that inspire people to do that, because it's one thing to tell a person what they should do, and I find that so terribly stupid because it doesn't work. But a story like this inspires.
It really does.
Yeah, and this is how I wrote my book, because that's much more, I feel that's much more, it ignites something in people, and they're like, "Oh, I'll try that too," you know?
Well, I want that. I impress that upon people. Yeah, it is like random acts of kindness, but when you're doing it for the animal kingdom, no matter it's squirrels, I have blue jays, cardinals. My greatest thrills besides the deer is the mallards that come and then they bring all their babies. And but listen
so
to what I did last summer. It was so hot. I took these, and my son laughs at me. I took these bowls of water, and I had to make sure that they were glass, not plastic, because they would peck at them, and I didn't want them to chew anything off of it, you know. So I put these big, huge things out there, and they were drinking from these bowls. And my son came over, and he said, "I can't believe you did this." I said, "Why?" I said, "Look at them. They're in the heat. Mother, all they have to do is go in the lagoon behind you." I said, "No, it's different. This is different." And he said, "Well, it's different because you're doing it, and they know you're doing it. And I'll do the same thing again when they come." I mean, I had at one time 30 babies that I was feeding. Not just one time a day, many times a day. Because when they're little, they have to feed. They go in the water. They teach them how to swim, and they get whatever's in the water. But, you know, and like I, you know, like the deer, like right now, it's our kind of, you know, if you want to call it winter. So there's not really any forage. There isn't anything that they can pick off the bushes. And so I take care of it. I fix it. I'll do it until I'm not here anymore. I will continue to do it because I love it so much and it makes me so happy. It's like having people come to your house. They're visiting me. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, bless your heart. Yeah,
well,
that's so beautiful.
It's good, yeah. Now tell me, you had a lot of training from a lot of famous people I see here, right? Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama. What was that like? I mean, what kind of training did you get? Let's go into more about you. What kind of training was that?
Yeah. Well, there's part of my story in the book is it has to do with living with Mother Teresa. I was 18, and I really wanted to travel to India to learn from her. At that time, hardly anybody would go to India, and I went to her and to Calcutta. Now, the first thing I got was a shock of my life. The level of poverty was, like, unprecedented.
Really?
But living with her, yeah, it's like, it was like, at that time, it was just horrific, you know? There's like, and I lived with her and walked with her and fed the people with her. I worked in the House of the Dying with her. And I felt like this little woman, no matter what people say about her, this little woman really, the moment I met her was so powerful because I did not know that it was her. I met her on the staircase, never forget this, and I asked, "Do you know where Mother Teresa is?" And she looked me in the eyes, and I started crying because I could feel the purity of her love.
Right.
It hit me to the core.
What an amazing chance.
Realized,
what an amazing thing you had. How many of us would ever get to do that? I won't, but I'm so happy you did because you can share what it was like to be with her. I don't think there's anybody else like her.
I mean,
I don't think you don't hear the notoriety, the good notoriety about anybody like that, but she stands out. She just stands right out.
Yes.
Why, in a way, was it what she did for the people of poverty? Was it what she did, you know, talking to people and just giving with, you know, because giving of herself, giving of her time, helping people, is that what it was? Is that why she became so famous?
No. It was one part. No, she actually, you see, there is a difference between, like, okay, you go out and you help people. That's good. But what she did was you could feel in her presence the purity of her love. And that, she acted from that. And that is a huge difference. She wasn't doing it to save people. She was doing it out of pure love. And it was like... And that just was like, it just touched so many. I mean, I worked with her for 6 months, you know, side by side. And I could feel, you know, even how she touched those who were dying. You could feel by the way she looked at them, they felt completely loved by her. And she didn't need many words for that. And
didn't hear her speak too much. I mean, not... You know, not like you and I would talk.
No, she was,
no.
So it's more It was more about the way she did it and where she was coming from.
Yeah.
So it was the feeling like she sees you. She looks at you, she sees you, and she looks at you, and she's, and you can feel you are completely welcome, completely loved as you are. That's so rare, you know, in this world.
It is, because people always make judgments on other people. I have learned, and I don't know if it's because of what I do with all the animals, well, all of them, I have learned that judging somebody, that's not your place to judge. You're not the judge. You accept them for how they are and what they are. I mean, you can help them. You can guide them, you know, like, well, you shouldn't be doing this. This is really not good. But sometimes you can't even help people. Sometimes people just, and I don't understand that. You know, I was born and raised a Catholic, but that has nothing to do with what I am. I had some visitations come to me, and I had help with my husband who had Alzheimer's, who tried to kill me every day. I mean, I'm still alive, and I didn't do it all myself. Nicola, I had help you couldn't see. I could see it sometimes, but if somebody were with me, they would not know. They would not know at all, so they didn't experience it. So I think that really helped me. But some of these paths that people are on, I don't know if you can ever shake them up enough that they'll go over to the next path. They'll cross over to that other path of good, not evil. I don't, know, like what's going on in these countries. I don't understand. Are they just brainwashed? Don't they have a brain? Can't they think?
No, Natalie. I mean, this is much deeper than that. It's not. It has nothing to do with whether they think. I studied this phenomenon quite deeply, and that's why I was also felt compelled to write this book too, because there is a sense of deep in people. The further away you are from your heart, the more closed off your heart is, the less
right.
The less connection you have to what's actually sane, that what is actually compassionate, that it was actually kind, you disconnected. So the whole world is kind of suffering under this cloak of disconnection to a lesser or bigger degree. And people who are really disconnected, they do really shitty things in the world.
That's
now,
true.
Will they wake up? Will they open their hearts? I don't know. But those of us who are on the other path, we need right now big time strengthening. And
that's
we
right.
need, like, really, because everybody has their heart. People think their heart is open, but most people's heart is not quite open. So there is always this, can we dare to have our hearts open, even if there is, whether there's joy or pain? Can we dare to keep our hearts open, even when we feel like we just want to close the shutters? You know, it's like, that's something that we can learn, and only when you keep it open can you have a connection to what's real and true. And I think the more disconnect, the more closed down, the more disconnected, the more insane you become. You know.
Yeah, and you end up, you know, like is finds like. I mean, you'll find others who are just like you. And sometimes I think they don't really know the difference. They don't know. That, you know, I look at, I look at these countries that go off and hurt. I mean, I could never hurt another being. I could never do that. But you and I are made differently. You know, I just, and that's really hard. And I don't even think talking to them, like if you and I had a group of them and we talked to them to show them the way that things should be done, I don't know that they would even understand because they are closed off. They don't. Mm-hmm. They have not seen what good can do.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I don't think they haven't experienced it. How do you know what you don't know? You don't. You can't.
Yeah.
So, but it's so disheartening.
Well, take heart, my darling, because I would say the wave of people who are really into wanting to live with more love in the world is growing bigger, much bigger now. And I have a feeling at some point that wave is just going to take over and wash everybody else along. Or
Yeah, exactly. That would be like a big, huge tidal wave. Just take them, or yes, convert them over and let them see. It's just acts of kindness, too. I mean, being kind, like, to the animals, to people. I mean, you know,
yes,
if I see things and somebody does something really good, I always do something good. If somebody needs my help, I am there. I'm not very big, but I'll help you in any way that I can. And there are, you know, I see it all the time in stores and these kind people that will lift a hand. And what's the harm in that? I think the more we show, like you and I and others, the more people will see. And then I think you're right. Love is going to win out. It must. There isn't any other way.
It must.
There isn't any other way.
And that's why, you know, when I said, you know, the word unleashed on my book, Love Unleashed, because I feel like that tidal wave is now needing to unleash big time because of the situation we are in. And I believe that it is happening. It really is. And there is no way that love is not going to be victorious. I mean, that it's going to be messy. Of course, it's like, you know, it's not always easy to keep to be kind or to keep your heart open when people are, for example, not nice, you know?
Right.
It's like that's where spiritual practice comes in, you know, to say, okay, so even if the other person isn't kind, I'm going to walk this path because I want to feel connected and happy. And that's simple. So I've been
I'm losing my voice. People that are like us will find a lot of happiness coming to them. I mean, there is a law of attraction. I don't have, and you probably don't either, any evil people in my life. For one thing, they would not.
No.
They would not cross my path. I'm sure of it. I haven't had anybody, maybe when I was in high school and grade school, I would have somebody that, you know, I would see them do things and, oh, God, why are they doing that? What is wrong with them? You know, but I don't have that as an adult, and I'm so happy because it allows us to be free and to spread all the good stuff that we want to do. We're not curtailed. We're not smothered. We're able to continue, like you're able to continue this book. I'm going to look at, when you wrote the book, I'm going to look at some questions that I might have for you. Hold on, that I might not be getting into because I know we're getting close to our time. Good. How is Mary Magdalene a beacon in our current world? I adore her, you know. I adore her. I have always... felt an affinity to
she's
her for some
one.
Reason. Yeah, she is, yeah.
She is, I mean, I hold a lot of Mary Magdalena retreats and teachings, and I have a whole community. It's really, I have only a small section on her in the book, but I would say she's definitely a beacon because she embodied a love that is greater than we even know. Because when you look at her life, I mean, there's a lot of distortion in the stories. But if you look just at the very basic, when she stood at the cross, you know, with Yeshua and he was dying, and she kept her heart open to stay connected with him, to be able to say, I am with you all the way. And that is so profound because she must have hurt a lot. And at the same time,
of course she did.
She's
of course
also
she did.
Now,
I have an author who's in Jerusalem, and he and I talked an awful lot about that. I told him, I said, I've always wanted to go there. He said, why? I said, well, first of all, Jesus has visited me before, twice, probably when I really needed, I don't know what I needed. It really helped, whatever. But I actually saw him. But I said, I have always felt that in a previous life, I was with him, And I, in being the personality that I am, I could see myself, I told him this, I could see myself gathering everybody, come on, we got to stop this. We have to stop this. I mean, because that's how I am. And he looked at me and he said, no, no. He told me no. And I kind of looked and he said, you'll die. I don't need you to die. I am doing this for all of us. You know, that's how I feel about being there with him. I mean, he's the one really that I have this affinity for. So, but this man told me, he said, well, I'm going to tell you something. He said, if you ever can come here, I'm going to take you there. And he said, I bet, I've never met you, I've just talked to you. He calls me his big, bright, white, that's how he directs his words to me, BBWW, that's what I am. He said, I can bet any money you'll be here, and people are going to know who you are. I said, well, I just have this feeling that I don't know that I'll ever get there, you know, but he said, I'll take you there. I will get you there. And he said, and probably most of us will never be the same. And I said, well, it's a feeling that I've always had as young because of my husband, because of what I went through. And at that moment when I was just sobbing so hard, I looked down and I saw his feet and I saw a robe. And I got up. I had locked myself in the bathroom. I've told this story many times. I got up and I stopped crying, and I never cried after that. Because I knew he was with me all the way. I should have died many times, but I did not. And so this man said to me, he said, you see? He said, that's why you have to come here. He said, because you know. You saw him. I said, well, I've seen him all the whole body, but then I also saw that in my bathroom when I was sitting on the floor sobbing. The door was locked. I didn't know what I was going to do. I really, you know, but he said he really showed me the way to, I had strength. I wasn't very big. I had strength. I didn't have to do anything. It just never happened again. I never was in the situation where I feared for my life again. And it was because I knew that he showed up for me, and I knew he was with me. That was it.
Yeah.
And some of us go through things like that.
And
huh?
Yes, I had many experiences of things like that with, and Mary Magdalena, it's a beautiful story what you just shared. And I would say, you know, Mary Magdalena is really, I think, a beacon for women, and she's a powerhouse. She's not somebody that just is like meek and standing, you know, just being.
Holding her. That's a tower of strength right there. That's the pillar.
She was the tower of strength. That's what Magdala means. You know, Magdalena means like the tower of strength. And she stood in the truth, and she spoke, even though at that time in Israel, the women were not allowed to teach or speak or whatever. They had to just, the men had to do it, you know, were the main machos. But she did it anyway, and she was like a revolutionary, the same as he, you know, and I always feel with them, I am with you. That's the main sentence. And that's also the message of the book, you know, where I feel like that's what has touched me in my life the most, when I felt like this sense that someone with me. And I just want to tell to everyone who's listening to notice that even if the partner isn't there or the friend isn't there, someone is with you. You are not alone. Ever.
You know, I'm alone all the time. I have a son and I have a family, you know, a little family, that I'm alone a lot. And sometimes I'm in the kitchen, I have a cat, and I'll say to him, you know, I'm not by myself. I know I can't see them, but I know they're here. I know, because I could not keep doing what I'm doing without, it's just like things that you can't see. Believe in things you cannot see. That's how I end my show. They really are there. And, you know, my cat will look at me like, Mom, who are you talking to? But I will say hello to them. My lights blink. I know it's all those who have passed, all of them. There's so many that I have lost, my friends, and I'm still here. And then I'll say out loud, I know there's a reason for me. I know there's a purpose. I don't think I've fulfilled it yet. I don't think I really know, but I know there is more. I just know there is more. And it's like we're working towards something, you know, you and I. I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, I'm sure. But we're working towards someone, or something rather, that's going to bring us to maybe the near end. I don't know. I mean, if I could keep doing what I'm doing right now, my age does not matter to me. It really, really doesn't. We have to keep doing and helping and not stop. And your beautiful book, I can't impress upon people that will be listening that they really should get it, because just what we've discussed so far, you have deep, I don't want to call them roots, but there's a lot of depth with you, and I appreciate that so much, really. I really, really do. So, you know, we're close to the end here anyways, but I want to thank you for coming on my show, and please go to her site. And get her book, of course. And I'm going to give all that information to you again. We're going to go back up to her book. The book is called Love Unleashed, How to Rise in a World on the Edge. And how fitting is that title, A World on the Edge. But you don't have to be on the edge. You don't have to be on the edge. You can be standing strong and tall and do everything that you can to help everybody that you can. And her site is, and I'm going to spell it out, NICOLAAMADORA.com. She's got everything there that you could ever want to know about her. Her books are on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere. You could probably get it anywhere. I mean, I'm hoping that we see more bookstores. The bookstores were closing, I noticed. I live near a city called Savannah, and when the malls close, then the bookstore goes. I'm just so happy to see some independents carrying these beautiful books, because hold the book. Look at the book. You know, you're going to get a feeling from this book, I'm telling you. If you're anything like me, you will. You'll know. You'll know right away, I got to get this. I got to get this book. I just got to get this book. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad we connected today. I love how you say my name. Say my name again. Say Natalie.
Natalie, thank you so much. And everybody who is listening, and I send a kiss of love from across the ocean right now from Portugal.
Oh, that's where you are in Portugal? Cool. Awesome. Yes. See, I talk to everybody everywhere. It doesn't matter. And it was perfect. Thank you so much. I love you dearly already. I don't even know you, but I know you. I know of you. I know you're like me, you know. And you're tough. I can hear you. You can be tough if you have to. So you have a good rest of your day. And everybody, I will be on again next week. Yes, it'll be 2 to 3 next week, but you'll see the ad that'll come out. Now, I'm going to push this out after the recording is over. So it'll be seen all over the place, because I want everybody to know about you and know about your beautiful work.
Thank you
for sharing it all
with
me.
Thank you so much.
Okay, honey. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. I'm going to close the show like I always do, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Trust me. And it's a beautiful world. Bye-bye.